We are in the book of Ephesians. We are in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I'll tell you, I'll just go ahead and say it. This week has been difficult, primarily because when people you love suffer, you suffer as a pastor. You struggle, too. And there's a lot of hurt, and some that maybe you don't even know. One of our newest members, brother, passed away and had bleeding in the brain, and I've been in lots of contact with that family. And of course, I won't talk anymore, and I won't even say the name, but one of our beloved deacons and loved ones lost somebody as well, very dear. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, sometimes you're just a little rocked. And that's what it feels like this weekend, a little bit for me. And I want to say this, as I try to get excited, and I really am, I think this is one of the most probably important sermons I could preach to this congregation. And you have an 8-page packet in front of you, and I don't apologize. I won't do that for giving that to you. Let me tell you why I won't apologize for that. It didn't get to be like pretty and in your bulletin as usual, but what I am accustomed to is people in the church saying, we don't know what our role is. We don't know what our purpose is. I see a lot of unsatisfied people that come into the church, and they're constantly focused on things. And I think when we find our purpose and niche in life, there's a joy that I can't explain to you. When you know what you're supposed to do, when you know your purpose, when you know your role, when you know what God has designed you to do, I could go crazy here, but a lot of people don't believe in God. Let me tell you, we have a world of design. We have an earth of design. There is a designer. And guess what? He designed you. He says it before you were born. He designed you. And let me tell you something. He says, I gave you the Holy Spirit. And then he tells in his word, I had a plan for the church. And it's a body. And the body has different parts, different roles that I'm going to give you. That's what God says. So when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're talking about a designer who's designed the church to function a certain way. And we got a lot of folks that are looking at a pastor. Hey, he's the teacher. You know at least one of my spiritual gifts. And I stand up here over and over and say, this is not the thing I love the most. Let me tell you, I'd rather be weeping and loving folks. This is a role that it's part of the job. This is not the most important part of this church. In fact, I can tell you right now, the most meaningful thing in people's life in part of this church is when people in this church love them well, and that ain't coming from some pulpit on a Sunday morning. That's the most meaningful thing. There's times I get to be a part of it. There's times I don't get to be a part of that. Church is way bigger than coming and sitting and hearing someone use one gift. One gift. It's a body of many gifts. So when I talk about gifts, I will not. I'm going to talk about the spectrum of 19 gifts that we see listed in Scripture, and I'm going to let you figure it out. There's questions. The whole point of 8 pages is it's a brief description. It's as thorough as I could possibly be in the limited time to say, here's a bit of learning what the gift might be. People have some of those gifts, you're like, we don't believe that. Okay. Some people do believe in them. Some people don't. Okay. I'm just going to give you the information. I'm going to give you some questions. I'm going to let you on your own say, what is my gifting? Because here's ultimately what needs to happen is people wake up and they say, I have a vital role. I have a purpose. I have meaning. God meant me to do much beyond just what my job is or my family is. You actually have a spiritual role. And let me tell you something. I've learned after a lot of life that some of the most meaningful relationships you'll ever have are going to be right in this body right here. And what is your gift? What is your role? What is your purpose? Do you walk around like, what is my, I don't know what my purpose is. Maybe you find fulfillment in other things and you're not fulfilled. Let me say something. If you're not fulfilled, if you're not happy, if you don't know your worth, let me tell you something. You have a spiritual gift, and when you start using it, God designed you. When you start being who God designed you to be, you may start finding life and purpose. And meaning. And let me tell you, don't compare. Who cares? Your God, the perfect God, knows every hair on your head, even if you're bald, right? He knows these little things right around here or here. I don't know. But let me tell you something. God knows your purpose. And he designed you. He designed you. Be you. But figure out who you are. Figure out your purpose. And let me tell you something. Get busy figuring out how you can benefit God's people. This is the most, let me tell you, this is the most important family that God has called you to be a part of. The church, there's multiple churches. I mean, all around. And I hope those people get busy being the church at their church. We have this church. Get busy figuring out what your purpose is and get busy using God's gifts for you here. That's what today's about. And so I won't apologize. I'm excited, but there's a lot of hurt, but there's an opportunity for the church to be the church in the midst of whatever's going on. But we need everyone knowing their gifting, their purpose. And when God opens an opportunity, you're like, man, that's my gifting. You use it. You go out of your way for it because that's who he designed you to be. Listen, you're serving, but you're going to be fulfilled because you're doing what God designed you to do. And we have a great designer. And this world functions pretty well. I'm sorry, it rained today, right? Well, then there's a reason. There's a whole design behind all that. You trace it back. It would take the whole sermon doing that. We have a great designer, and he designed the body. He designed the church for people, and he gave them gifts. He gave them purpose, and you will be more satisfied when you figure out what that gift is and you utilize it. And that's what church is supposed to be about. Not all this politics, not all this griping. It's supposed to be about that, serving the church, serving people, loving people, using the gift God gave you and serving with what you can and what you can do. That's what church is about. Amen? Amen. I better get an amen on that. Amen. Amen. Yes. All right. That said, that was not the introduction. The introduction was this. Well, a little bit of that. A little bit of that. But I will say this. I got tickled. Can I say tickled? No one tickled me. I got tickled by a young lady that I loved youth ministry. I didn't expect to be in head ministry yet. I love youth ministry. One of the reasons I love youth ministry is I got to cultivate young people that I know I get to pour into, and I get to equip them. I get to see them know their gifting. And one young lady I met reminded me so much of, I say his name all the time, he's about to get married, Andrew Adler. She was very just energetic and loved people and wanted to like fiercely worship God. And I've found when people are like that, they're bold. And I found usually they have a gift of evangelism. And she's a young lady that her name is Addie Strange. And she came and visited their whole family one day. When you saw that whole family full of they've adopted like 6 kids, but they sat on a whole row by themselves. That was that family. And Addie Strange had the gift of evangelism, and I knew it, and I told her, and she exploded. She exploded. But listen, she needed someone to say, hey, like your boldness, your energy, your excitement, your contagiousness for God, you're wanting to go out. Like that's because you have a purpose and it's evangelism. And it was funny. It was like unlocking the key. Like it's like you just blew open. It was all there, all the signs. But no one ever said to her, hey, you're this way for a reason. Your gift is evangelism. Well, this week she got to talk at a conference with multiple kids. And she said like that was one of the most meaningful conversations she ever had because it unlocked who she was. So I say that, I don't say that to brag. I say that to say this weekend that just happened and it reminded me all this flooding of why I came into ministry, why I love my job, why I love discipling is I want people to know their purpose. I want them to know they matter. I don't want them to think like the pastor matters more. I say it a million times, probably too much. No, I'm one person, one gift, multiple gifts. You probably have multiple gifts, but God has designed you and you matter. And God is going to use you in powerful ways when you unlock that and you realize that. And I got to see a young lady who, like, life is just flourishing because she understood who she is. And she's young. She's like 15. And the rest of her life, she gets to pursue being who God designed her to be. Let's be honest. Let's be real, folks. Some of us, we don't know who we are. We don't know what we're designed to do. We don't know our purpose. We've been 50 years, 60 years, or 30 years, or whatever, and we don't know what our role is. Today, you have an 8-page packet. No excuse. No excuse. Let me tell you something. This church, God's church, the church needs you. If you have the Holy Spirit, I can talk with you on a one-on-one basis. Come down. If you want to know, do you have God? Is the Holy Spirit in you? But if you know you're a Christian, do not question. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You have a purpose. Period. And there's no more talking about it. But I want to help you. So today, I can't go through 8 pages. I talk fast, and I just spent like 10 minutes talking in an introduction. I'm not going to get through all that. I'm just not. This is for you. And let me tell you, this is for you, and it's beyond that. When you have young children, or you have friends, and they don't know their purpose, they don't know their role, this is to equip you so that whenever they say, I don't know my purpose, well, here's a packet. Bam, let's talk about it. You have a gift, every one of you, and we are going to get busy for the Lord when we figure out our purpose. Amen. I'd like that. Amen. I get excited. We get busy for the Lord when we figure out our purpose and we utilize it. And we realize, man, you are needed. You are wanted. You are valued. And God has plans for you. And he designed you to be exactly you. You're not a mistake. You're not. That's who you are. So with that said, let's open up to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Lots of scripture. But pastor, you just preached. Well, let me tell you, I was preaching basically off of verse 11 and 12. We'll read the whole thing in a second. It says, and he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. Guess what? A shepherd, that's my job. A shepherd and a pastor. What is the role of being a pastor? It says here, according to the scripture, it says verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So doesn't this seem like a very important sermon? Like, what is your goal? What is your gifting? How do I teach you so you know what your role is? Because that's the purpose of my role, is to equip you for the work of ministry. But let me tell you something. There's two parts to that. I can equip you, but you have to be willing to minister, because you are ministers. Y'all know that this whole minister term, pastor term, we're all ministers for God, every one of us. You have a role. I'm a minister whose goal is to teach you how to be equipped. But your job is to be a minister to the body, and God has gifted you to do so. All right, I'm going to get going. I know you're like, get in the word, pastor. Here we go. Verse 1 says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, oh man, this could be a whole sermon on its own. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Folks, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Let me tell you something. Church growth happens when that happens. We don't need to talk anymore. Gifts, this is probably the most important text in all of the Bible for a church, right? God has called you. He's equipped you. Hey, walk in a manner worthy of that which you've been called. You know what Jesus did for you. You know his death. You know the sins that he paid for. Who are you to look at anyone else and be different or look down on? God's not called you to do that. Walk in a worthy manner of what God is. That's a weighty call. He died for you. He forgave you. Forgive others. Love others. Give everything you can until you're poured out. Paul says, I'm poured out like a drink offering. I'd rather go to heaven. May you, may me, may I, may we pour ourselves out to the point that we say, I'm ready to go to heaven because I'm done ministering. Life, that's what you're called to do. You're called to minister. And he says it here, worthy of a life called to ministry. And he says, with all humility, are you humble? Gentleness, are you gentle? My wife's going to get on to me. Patience. I'm working on it. That is a fruit of the Spirit. It's going to be a lifelong journey. My son is teaching me how to be patient. And I love that boy. He's teaching me. He's the one that's going to teach me how to be patient. Patience. Bearing with one another in love. Bearing. Putting up with mess because you're sinful. And my expectation is not for you to be perfect. Take your church, church clothes. Here we go. We're all perfect. You ain't perfect. You ain't tricking nobody. Bear with one another. Bear with one of your another's messes. You're not perfect. Love them. Bear in love. Why? Because you're called to a worthy calling. And you ought to know that and mentally know that. With that said, verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Catch that? Maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a whole ministry called the Ministry of Reconciliation that we are, as believers, called to. Unity, bond of peace. God has called the church to be a part of that. Do we do that? Do we act that way? Are we aggressive in keeping that? That's what we're called to. That's what he would say, contribute to the unity of the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to you. Notice the one, right? And it goes on, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One. We shouldn't be divided. Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And he goes on in verse 9, and saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he he had also descended into the lower region of the earth. Verse 10. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, the purpose to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Is this a body of Christ? Amen. You're gifted. Did he just not spend four verses saying he has given us gifts? He ascended to give the gifts? Guys, I laugh sometimes. I chuckle at 120 people follow Jesus after all his miracles. We trick ourselves into thinking, sometimes if I saw the miracle of Jesus, if I saw Lazarus resurrect, if I saw whatever, then I would follow God. And yet Jesus had 120 followers. So when he ascended and when Peter spoke, Peter, of all apostles, Peter speaks, 3,000 same. Boom. Greatest evangelistic movement ever. What did he do? Peter. You remember Peter? You know, by the way, he's not done. Paul still has to call him out in Galatians. He's still not perfect. And yet God said, when you are weak, I am strong. And God used Peter and his boldness and his imperfect self. And woo, evangelism happened. What, Pastor, why are you saying that? I'm saying that because I want you to get a totality of he gifted us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. The whole purpose of Jesus, the whole ministry, he was going to ascend to build you, to gift you, to make you who you need to be for his church to flourish. His church is the most important thing. There's all these missions and organizations and all these things. God's vision was through churches to change the world. LaPorte, Texas' future is for this church and other churches to become the church. We need to get busy being the church because that was God's vision. Mission statement? There's your mission statement. Go out and share the gospel, but be who you need to be for this church and then go out and be something that God's going to make you. That's who God's called. That's his vision. That's his mission statement. And he does it. And listen, Jesus himself only had 120 followers, but the Holy Spirit, everything changed. And you are gifted. In fact, Paul would pray, what should I be praying for you? Let me tell you, I pray for Jesus. I pray for his presence more than anything else when there's someone who's sick. Not necessarily healing. I do pray for healing because I want to see a work of God. But I don't limit it to that. What you need more than anything is Jesus. We just said that. You need Jesus. But let me tell you what else you need. You need the Holy Spirit. You need his presence. You need him to empower you. And let me tell you, part of Paul's prayer when he prays for churches is he says, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is in you. Do you believe you're weak? Good. You should. Have humility. When you're weak, you are strong. When you think you're strong, you are weak. God can do great things because his Holy Spirit resides in you. Look at Acts. Look what the church did when they knew we don't know what we're doing. God had to use persecution to spread them out. And listen, 300 years, Christianity took over Rome. You know why? Go look it up. Sociology, go look it up. Sociology 101, sociology religion. Here you go. Why did Christianity in 300 years, in the midst of the most persecution ever faced in this world? I learned this at HBU right down the road. Thank you, Dad. That's where I was at. I studied this. I learned this. Let me tell you something. I learned real quick and changed the world because Christians, when sickness and plagues, even though they were persecuted, they took people in. They loved them. They loved them like no mess. And everyone started looking around like, why are we killing these people that are the only ones that love us? They love us like Christ. The church was the church and the church flourished, took over Rome, right? In 300 years. Because the church was the church and the church was filled with the Holy Spirit and people were using their gifts and they looked for opportunities, even with a plague. They didn't care. They trusted God for their health. They took sick people into their homes. Woo! That's how it happened, folks. That's how Christianity spread and changed the world. And that was God's vision for the world. Amen? Back to reading scripture. Sorry, I got excited. All right, here we go. Verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the sons of the body of Christ. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. I just read that twice, sorry. To the mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the faithfulness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine. by human cunning, by craftiness, a deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. Back to, this is a passage of how do you build a church? Speak the truth in love on both sides. Speak the truth in love and receive truth in love. Both ways, right? And he goes on, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Church, let's mature today. How do you grow a church? Look what he said. When each part is working properly, why did church die? Why did churches not grow? When body members aren't being the body God's called them to be. They're not using the gifts God called them to use. And it says, when that's happening, it says in each body part is working properly. Well, you're not working properly, so the body doesn't grow. It's not about this church. I'm just saying in general, God has equipped us. He's equipped us to build into this body. Well, when we don't use our gifts, when we don't use what God has given us, or that's what the whole point of today is about. If we don't know what our gifting is, if we don't know we have a unique spiritual gift that God has given us, here's what happens. We don't work properly. And then what happens? He says, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Well, you're not going to grow. And everything, listen, he says it over and over. Who cares what your spiritual gift is? Love. That's what Paul says in Corinthians. Who cares what your spiritual gift is? Just love. If you just love, if you make it not about you, you just love other people, you will be better than whatever climbing gift or what chaining gift, whatever. Love. So here we go. We are going to talk about this spiritual gifts. I'm going to move into a portion of just discussing this. Jesus's ministry continues through the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has empowered us with gifts. And I don't want to separate. We do a lot of spiritual gift talk, and we don't talk about talents. Let me tell you something. When Chris comes up here, when Trevor's up here, when Abby, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to leave everybody out. Where's Matthias? The bass man. Yeah, there we go. Okay, here's what I'm trying to say. Do we benefit from talents that God has given them? So I get really uncomfortable with spiritual gifts, because we kind of like associate these. There is a supernatural gifting that God gives, and then there are talents that God just gave you. And both can glorify God. The purpose of every gift that God gives is to glorify God. So if you're artistic, amen, God can use it. If you are an educator and you love teaching and you see students who can't read and you want to help them, amen, God can use it. We need you this summer. We're working on a program to go after those kids in our community that can't read and help them go up a level. We need you. We'd love your help. I'll tell you now, it's going to happen the whole summer, okay? But if you have that, if that's your desire, God can use it. You just person that loves and can help take care of people's deformities or struggles and whatnot, God can use that. God can use whatever he's talented you to do for his glory. Because listen, you are unique, every bit of you. And I think all of us, if we were honest and we took ourselves aside and we didn't want to be, I get uncomfortable when people compliment me. So maybe that's like you, and you're just like, if no one was like, you know some of your gifts. Guys, no question. I'm wired like a crazy man. You see my son? Oh, that ain't an accident. There was no mailman. That's my son. That's my son. He's me. And I got a lot of energy. And I'm a drummer. You know that? I drummed one time here. I love drumming. And you walk by me in a car, I'm going to be drumming on my. I don't know how my wheel stays on. I do this every time. I'm drumming on my, right? I'm a drummer. God made me. He wired me that way. One of the best things I ever did is get a drum set. It's helped me a lot, because I have a lot of energy. And when you aren't around, I play up here sometimes, right? I'm a drummer. God, that's a talent. That's a gift that God, there's nothing my dad or anyone taught me. That's just who God made me to be. God can use your talents, and he can use them for glory. But let me tell you, the deeper level is there is a supernatural. If you have the Holy Spirit, there's a deeper level to you that you may not even know. There's a spiritual gift. When you became born again, when the Holy Spirit empowered you and came into your heart, and when you became and you knew you're following Jesus the rest of your days, at that day, God had a purpose for you, a purpose that nobody could teach you other than God, could show you what it is. I can speak truth into you. I can give you some questions, but you need to believe you have a purpose. You have a purpose for this church. You have a purpose for the body of Christ, whether you're at this church or somewhere else. And I just gave you 8 pages of things to help you try to figure out what that is. But you need to get busy figuring out what is your gift? What is your purpose? Is it mercy? We need it. Let me tell you, there's some folks struggling. We need mercy. We need encouragement. Oh my Lord, we need encouragement, right? We need encouragers. We need evangelists. We have a lost secular world. We need people excited to go out and share the gospel who are bold and unafraid. I don't care what you say about me. I'm going to go share the gospel because I know what God has done for me, and I'm unafraid to go tell you the truth of what Jesus has done in my life. We need that in the church. You want to say, why aren't churches growing? Because we don't have the evangelists rising up. And we need to go with it. Listen, let me tell you something else about gifts. I'm just going total Holy Spirit right now. All right? Let me tell you. I learned a long time ago. When you start recognizing the giftingness of other people, it humbles you. It actually unites us. No one's ever said this. I've never heard a sermon on it. But I think there's a purpose in which God has equipped us for the purpose of saying, I'm not perfect. There are way better servants than me. There are way better encouragers than me. There are way better evangelists. And I have an option when I see someone incredibly spirit-empowered and gifted to get ashamed. Right? I see them and I'm like, oh, I'm of no worth. No. When you see that, you praise Jesus that God has empowered somebody else. And you see their gift and you're like, man, this is awesome. And it should reassure you, you have a gift. You have a purpose. How do I get busy being me? And some of us who are gifted need to stop looking at other people and saying to them or thinking, I'm the most gifted. I'm better than you. No, you aren't. I say it on the stage for all the time. If you look at the pastor, he preaches to the people all the time. This is not the most important gift. Let me tell you something. People suffering, this is not the most important thing. It's those who love them, give them mercy, encourage them. That's the most important thing, right? I say to you, what is your gift? You have a gift. And now you have an 8-page packet of resource to get busy to figure out what is my gifting? What is it? And I'm telling you, if you feel I'm purposeful, you know, I don't have a purpose, I don't know my role, I don't feel like I totally fit. If you come to church and you're like, man, I don't feel comfortable, maybe you have not discovered who you're supposed to be. Maybe you know who you're supposed to be and you're not doing it because you don't want to plug in because you're afraid of what might, you know, if you do life, if you pour into a body of the church, maybe you're going to get hurt. Maybe someone's going to say, yeah, we're messy people. And the church, the body is supposed to protect you. And I hope we will be that. But let me tell you, you have a gift and God wants to use it. And we will not, according to the last verse of what we just read, I got to find it. We will not, with each part is working properly, make the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We will not work properly when your gift is not being utilized. So this is, how do you build a church? You tell everybody, you got gifts and we need them. It's true. Do you believe that? God wants to use you and he wants to use you to build up this church or another church, wherever your body is. God wants to use you. You matter. We can disagree on all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, we better agree on the one body, the one spirit, the one father, the one God, and he has a plan for his church, and he's gifted you to make that happen, and we need you. I don't get political up here for a reason. I don't care what we can disagree all day long. Who cares? Let me tell you who's on the throne. It's Jesus. I'm not putting my hope in anything else but Jesus. That's my hope. So I don't get all worried about all sorts of things in this world. When we start failing, I just know that means usually, pay attention to history, that's when the gospel spreads all the more. So God's on the throne, man. And wherever you are on that stuff, I don't care. But I do know this. We have one body, one spirit, one God. And he says he has a design for his church and he's equipped his people. And if you claim to be a believer and the Holy Spirit resides and he lives in you, you have a gift. And it's two parts. You need to know that gift. So that's why I'm equipping you. That's my job. And now I'm saying you need to use that gift because we desperately need it. We need you. Not your ugliness, but we need you. We need your loving spirit to be who God's called you to be the church that God has planned for us to be. And if you are a believer, you are uniquely gifted. And my gift's no better than you. Paul says it all the time. Who is the mouth to say to the arm, I don't need you? Well, let me tell you, I've been around a lot of people who are paralyzed and all sorts of things. Let me tell you, that mouth stops talking real quick when they have no legs. So maybe I'm the mouth. I don't know. I don't know what God would characterize me as. But let me tell you something. I've been around a lot of people that are broken, and my knee tells me alone, you need your legs. You need your feet. You need your arms. What is a church without servants? It's nothing. We need your gifting. Stop looking at other people's gifting. They're like, well, they're really gifted and I'm not. Stop that. You are perfectly and wonderfully made and designed by the Father. We need your gift, not somebody else's gift. You are no better. You are no less or no better than anybody else. You're just perfectly made and gifted. And God has wired you to serve this church. Now we got to get busy figuring out what that means. How to do that. What does that look like? So I encourage you. I know I'm kind of totally going off left field. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit lead my heart, because I think a lot of folks, listen, with spiritual gifts, a lot of folks are going to somehow, you're going to walk out of here and think, you're just going to do it. I know it, so I'm preaching on it. You're going to walk out of here and think, he wasn't talking to me, I'm talking to you. What's your gift? If you can't say one or two or three gifts, but yet you know you're spirit-filled, you know you're Christian, you know that God has changed your life and he is your hope, you're not just singing these words, you mean it. Right? If that's you, you have gifts. You have gifts. Or the Bible's a lie. Let's hang it all up that the Bible's a lie. It's not a lie. You have gifts. We need you. The church needs you. The body needs you. Yeah, is that uncomfortable? Yeah, because we have to actually plug in. A lot of folks don't want to plug in. Why? Because churches are a mess. They are. But there's some amazing people. Some of your best relationships and the hardest of times that you're going to go through will be God's people. So you need them, and you may not even know how much you need them. But you do. And let me tell you, how do you have community? You have community when you give and you take. Give and take. You need people to give to you and you need people to take. You need to be able to pour in and you do ministry at the same time as receive ministry. That's what the church is all about. That's how you utilize your gifts. So I know I need to get back to a sermon here, but I do think this is where people, they walk out and they start thinking somebody else is gifted, somebody else is talented. Stop all that trash that Satan's going to put in your mind. You are perfectly, wonderfully designed and gifted and needed. Please hear that. Needed for this church to flourish. We need your gift. Don't ask God. Hey, whoa, brain blown. What if you ask God, how can I serve this church? What if you ask that? How can I serve the people in this church? God, how have you gifted? I'm going to come on this side. I've never talked to you folks. I'm coming to you. All right, we figured that out last week. So how could you be gifted and perfectly wired to serve this church? What if you ask that? What if you read this list? I'm not intending on going through 8 pages of 19 gifts. What if you ask God, what are my gifts? And you took very serious taking this paperwork. And listen, I believe God moves in sermons, not in the moment. God moves when you take serious taking whatever is said and thinking about it and trying to apply it in your life. That's the problem in churches. Lots of people come and it's a religion. It's what we do. And then we leave and it doesn't matter what was said. It doesn't matter if Jesus himself stood up here. You're not going to take it and do anything with it. Well, today you got an 8-page packet. Nobody has an excuse for not trying to figure out what your gift is. You've been equipped. That's why I did it. And it's a massive packet, and I'm sorry if you're upset. It is what it is. Here you go. Figure out what your gift is. Ask God. Be active in saying, God, what is my gift? What is my talent? How am I to serve this community? How am I spirit-filled? And let me promise you something. I preach because I get joy that I can't explain. I don't know why. My poor family. I don't know why. I can't explain it. God wired me. He gave me from a young man. I got saved in 7th grade. And in 9th grade, God said, you're going into ministry. And I was like, God, no. But God called me to it. Like, and when I'm preaching, man, that's me. God wired me to be this. He designed me. It's a passion. And I get teary-eyed just talking. Because it's who God called me to be. So God has, listen, God is, I'm no different than you. God has wired you, perfectly designed you to be exactly who you are. And some of us, we know our gifts, but we're not using it. We're not using it to max level. We're not saying, how can I use this? How can I increase? You look at the church, listen, some of you look at the church and you see all these flaws. Let's stop being negative people. Let's start saying, what can I do to help? How has God wired me to make a difference? Right? Yeah, I'm one man. I can't do it all. You can't do it all, but we can do it. And God has used way less people to accomplish the world. We got more than 120 people. Jesus' entire ministry was 120. We got more than that every Sunday. Amen. God can change the world with God's people, but you are gifted and designed and purposefully. He's gifted you and he's given you those things and he wants to use you, but you have to let in. You have to say, yes, God, I will. Because I have a passion to be part of building the unity of a church and giving what I have. There's a lot of ways to serve. You can serve and say, well, because I serve, I expect. That's not what God's called you to do. God has called you to serve because God has equipped you. And if you're choosing to be part of this church, then you're choosing to be part of the gifting that God's wired you to be a part of this church. If you want to go serve at another church, go serve at another church. But he's gifted you and wired you to be part of the body. You don't stand around fighting and making complaints. You use your gifts to bring to unity, to build up the church, to build up God's kingdom. That's the purpose. That's what God's wired you and equipped you to do, particularly when he says, hey, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow and so that it builds itself up. And last words, in love. In love. Sorry, side, I'm on this side now. I'm probably going to stay here. That's just, if I think about it, I can't keep doing this. In love. So, folks, this is probably the most simplistic sermon. I can sit here and you got my notes. But I want to say this. A church that God is creating and building is going to be full of people that realize who their gifts are. What's the most productive thing a pastor could do to build a church up? Well, we could sit here and talk about marketing. We could sit here and talk about how do we fix something and make something better so that people would come. That's all marketing. It's all of this world. Let me tell you the New Testament and how Paul said the church is supposed to be built up. It's edify, equip. Equip folks. Let me tell you, I'm trying to equip you to say you have gifts. This church, wherever it's going to go, if it's going to go the right way, it's going to go with God's filled people, gifted people, using their gifts and doing it in unity and doing it in love and pursuing, taking that gift that God's given you. And listen, you're not just someone who gets, you're someone who gives. You take who you are and who God's wired you to be, and you give and you give and you give like Paul. And we should all aspire to be like Paul. We pour out and you're like, I'm tired. And God said, yeah, well, guess what? Paul was tired. Peter was tired. They died for their faith. And yet they still, Paul says, I poured myself out like a drink offering. Right? So I'd rather be in heaven than earth. Good. We're aliens. We all should want that. And that's what he says. Are we pouring ourselves out? Are we using our gifts? I don't care whether you're older or younger. We all have this mentality that God has not equipped me. He's not going to use me. And I'm telling you right now, that is hogwash. I don't even know what hogwash means. I've been told that my whole life. What is it? Spit for hogs? I don't know. Mouthwash for hogs? I don't know. But I'm telling you, it's hogwash. It's not true. That's the better word. It's just not true. You are gifted, perfectly gifted and designed. And how this church goes forward is you leave this service and you say, okay, man, I'm going to read 8 pages of stuff. Maybe you go to a community group tonight and you talk about the different questions. Talk with dear friends about, like, what is my gift? Have you ever thought about asking someone, what do you think my gift is? Right? Some of you are like, I'm not gifted. And you come talk to me, I'm like, man, you're amazing. You're encouraging. You are a servant. And you're like, I don't know my gift. Well, everyone around you is like, we know your gift, right? That's the truth. You are gifted. You are wonderfully made. And this church is, in any church, the church needs God's people to start saying, what's my purpose? Your purpose is not necessarily to be the best evangelist or to be the best pastor or to be whatever. It's to be you. But you got to figure out who you are. Who are you? What is your gift? What is your role? What is your purpose? And you have to choose to be saying, I'm going to take this gift and I'm going to utilize it, knowing that when I start being who God has designed me to be, I will find more joy. That is the beauty of God. You don't focus on the negative. You don't focus on the bad things or your past. Or you focus on what God has done for you, right? That's how we go forward with salvation, and we don't stay in a negative spirit. Well, it's the same with the Holy Spirit and gifts. You don't focus on all these other people and you know their gifts. You focus on, God, who am I supposed to be? And you find satisfaction with, God, you designed me in my mother's womb. And if this is my gift, woohoo! That's who you called me to be. You didn't call me to be him. You didn't call me to be this other person. You called me to be me. And that's all I'm accountable for. I'm not going to stand for God one day and him say, well, Ben, you're not Billy Graham. He knows, right? Well, God, if you want to let me speak and people just get saved left and right, thank you. But that's not true. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not supposed to be Billy Graham. I'm supposed to be Ben Rosenberger. He designed me to be in this community. He designed my family. He designed every bit of my life. And that's who I'm supposed to be. That's who, and you are the same way. And God wants to use you. And you matter. And you matter. And when everyone in this church starts saying, I matter, I have a role, when we collectively try to figure out how to make this church an incredible church, not with, well, if I'm going to serve, then I expect. Well, go ahead and move somewhere else, please. It ain't about you. It's about the church. And I say it all day long, not to down myself. I'm not the most important person. I'm not the most important gift. I believe it. I say it all the time because I believe it. And I heard pastors all the time, and I never thought you're the most important. So when I became one, I wasn't definitely not going to say I'm the most important person. And you talk to our deacons. When we come together, we talk about decisions. I ask them their opinion, and we vote on things because I don't want to be in charge of this whole church by myself. I'm one man. One man. One gift. Multiple gifts. I think I have a couple gifts. But listen, you have gifts. So I ask you, what would an incredible response be to this sermon? It's not going to be in the moment. It's going to be you leave from here. If you say, I don't know my gift, take time to read. Talk to people that love you and care for you. Maybe people that you know love you and they've already invested in you. And ask them, what do you think my gift is? You can come talk to me. I'd have great joy just sitting down and talking. And some of you have already actually said, I've heard it 4 times since I've been here as a pastor. People say to me, I mean, amazing, godly people that love Jesus and they don't know their gifting and they don't think they're gifted. And they are. I'd love to sit with you and say, let's look at these questions. Let's talk about these. You got giftings. You are uniquely made and wired to be exactly who God's made you to be. And wherever we're going, we need you, right? We need you. You need me. I need you. And that's both ways. Amen? Amen. So with that said, we're going to come into a response time. I pretty much never looked at my 8-page packet the entire sermon. But I'm really am wired and passionate about this because I it's hard for me when I see people think they don't have a purpose. And we're wired in a church in such a way, a guy gets up and he talks. And you just are wired from a young age to think that guy's more important than everybody else. And I'm just adamant of saying it all the time. No, I'm not. I'm one person, one gifting. And I happen to have this role. But listen, you, every one of you, I mean, we are not going anywhere until you let God use you for what he's designed to do. And let me tell you, your joy is going to be affected by not being utilized by God. Your joy is going to be what's at risk? Your joy. You knowing this is who I'm supposed to be and you knowing I'm serving and I'm being exactly, and you got talents we could utilize. You got gifts, that supernatural gifts that this church needs to be the church God wants it to be. But we need you. And so if you're at the place, if you leave here, if you study that packet and you're confused, can I tell you now, please come visit me. I'd love to sit down and talk and chat. I'll probably be drinking some green tea. I need to drink my little calming tea over here. I'm a little excited today. But we'd sit down and just talk. And look at, what is your gift? God has wired you. He's gifted you. Amen? So everyone that agrees with what I just preached, put your hand up. All right. So that means you're going to go figure out what your gift is. You're going to pray. You're going to take it serious. I see my friends up north. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for everyone in this church. I know it's a rainy day. It's a wet day. And we had every reason not to be here. But God, you put the folks here that you wanted here. And God, I pray that we would have a passion in our hearts to figure out what our purpose is. God, you've given us all sorts of roles. Some of us are mothers, some of us are fathers, some of us are deacons, some of us are teachers, some of us are business owners, all sorts of roles. But God, you have given us a role that is unique to each one of us. It has nothing to do with my father, has nothing to do with my wife, has nothing to do with anything other than you gave me supernatural gifts that you want me to use for your church. Father, I pray that we would leave this service having a deep passion to be who you've called us to be, to figure out what it is that our role is. Some of us have walked around aimless for years because we don't know who we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to do. And so, no surprise that all these other roles never fulfill. God, let us get busy figuring out what our gifts are, and let us get busy serving and purposely going out of our way to use your spiritual gift that you gave us so that we can build up the body of Christ. We love you. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for today in the midst of some people in this room right now, their hearts are broken But maybe we're reassured because we know we have a purpose and we can serve and we can love. And right now, maybe some of them are being loved by others who have gifts. Let us be a church that is full of your Spirit, God. We want to be full of your Spirit. And that means we need to be full of gifted people using their gifts, not thinking that one or two or three are the most important, but God, just all the gifts are so important. Thank you for today. Teach us, show us. God, as we pursue studying and thinking deeply about what is our role, God, would you speak? Would you speak into the hearts of your people, those in this room that are so most clueless and don't know what their purpose is? God, would you speak in a way that's undeniable, that they would know how you've wired them to help, God, just your kingdom move forward, whether that be at this church or just the global church. We love you. We thank you. It's your name we pray. Amen.